I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm here at HIMSS speaking with Lamont Yarlborough, who is CISO and acting deputy CIO of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Welcome.
Hi, happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us here. So over the last year or so, what have been some of the most concerning developing trends that we've been seeing involving cyber threats facing the healthcare sector from your perspective?
Okay, well, from my perspective, of course, overarchingly, I think that the health and the public health and healthcare sector is a target-rich environment, right? So there will be no shortage of actors taking the opportunity to do what they do in that space. So from that perspective, I, and along with my colleagues within HHS and throughout the federal sector and external partners, are always working diligently to ensure that we can do all that we can to kind of mitigate the risks within that environment.
So now the Biden administration has been focused on strategies for strengthening cybersecurity in critical infrastructure sectors, including the healthcare sector. What are the most important aspects of this strategy that you think healthcare sector entities should be paying more attention to and be focused on right now at their organizations?
I think organizations, by and large, irrespective of whether they're in the health and public health care sector, they should be ensuring that they have some type of paradigm of some organization maturity as it regards cybersecurity practices, right? And appreciating that a lot of the folks within said sector are not necessarily cyber experts, that they are relying on perhaps those who are, that they are building the capability within their environments to the extent that they are able, and they're leaning in and leaning on those who can help advise them on ways to be better in that space.
And as we know, the healthcare sector has sort of been rocked recently with the Change Healthcare Optum cyber attack. I know you can't really go into details, but any emerging lessons that are coming out of this incident so far that entities really should be paying close attention to, because you never know if this could happen again to a large player?
Yes, it's really unfortunate what's happening right now. But what I will say, and again, it's not just unique to this particular space, but you know, cybersecurity is important on a variety of levels. Specifically, we tend to say at HHS that, you know, cyber safety is patient safety ultimately, right? And that's the whole ecosystem that supports health and public health care, all of the players within that space. But I think, if anything, what it goes to show is, for one, there are no absolutes when it comes to cybersecurity. You can do everything that you're supposed to be doing and still suffer from a cyber attack. So that being said, you have to be ever so mindful and ever so committed to ensuring that you're doing all that you can to protect your environment.
You make a good point that a lot of entities, they do what they think is right, and they still wind up getting hit somehow, even if it's not them directly, it might be a vendor or whatever.
Exactly.
The government, too, has had their share of attacks. HHS has had incidents. Any lessons that the government is learning from what it's dealt with in terms of being a target for some of these things?
Well, again, I say this a lot, actually. You know, there are perhaps leaders in government and out and everywhere who thinks that, you know, because perhaps that they have a robust cybersecurity team, or maybe perhaps they have the latest and greatest cybersecurity tools, and they have, you know, robust and mature processes. Again, we can do everything that we're supposed to do, but a savvy threat, a bad actor, can find ways to overcome your perimeter in all manner of things. So I guess what this demonstrates is that constant vigilance, that whack-a-mole scenario, if you will, that it's never ending. You know, you can never plant a flag and say we are, for you know, 100% secure, because that's just an impossible goal and an impossible task.
So with that said, where should organizations be focusing their attention if they know that there is no 100% way that they can be completely safe from an attack, how to be better prepared to deal with something when it happens?
Well, if we're speaking specifically to the health and public health care sector, there's a number of things that we do at HHS. One of the things that I literally spoke to just a few moments ago here at HIMSS, we were actually announcing through our 405D program, for those who may not be familiar with what 405D is, it's an outcome of the Cybersecurity Act of 2015. Chapter and verse 405D within that language, within that law, says that HHSO partners, so it's a public-private partnership with the sector, to build ways and mechanisms by which they should be considering with respect to their cyber posture, ways in which to, you know, mitigate the risks within their environment. So we've operated this program for a number of years, and again today we kind of announced that we had released some education or cyber education through the 405D program in Spanish language. And we feel that targeting, you know, the healthcare and public healthcare sector and regions across the country with large Spanish-speaking populations. So by and large, you know, in a lot of ways, though, that's an underserved community. So we want to ensure that to the extent that we are providing this information throughout the entire community, that, you know, the Spanish-speaking community and you know, and others, as we review, as we target the Spanish-speaking community, we also want to consider other underrepresented communities. That's kind of a tongue twister, moving forward. So we announced that today. We want to ensure that, you know, with that capability of the Spanish language content, that you can train all your staff in healthcare facilities, because it's paramount to, again, ensuring patient safety, and the availability of materials in Spanish enhances accessibility and effectiveness.
Now, what about the under-resourced organizations out there in the healthcare sector? You have a lot of smaller clinics, you have rural hospitals, you know, a lot of these entities sort of complain that we know that we might be targeted, but we don't know what to do. We don't even have the staff that would be able to handle this. Are there any sort of incentives or funding or other sorts of programs that might be available or might be in the pipeline?
We actually are working, you know, to demonstrate our commitment, that we are working to provide some types of resources by way of grants and other incentives for implementing cybersecurity practices specifically to those communities and sectors, or rather practitioners that don't have the resources for themselves. So we are continually working that, so that hospitals and healthcare providers can explore those opportunities for financial assistance and other support and incentives to bolster their cybersecurity capabilities.
And as we look, you know, into the year here, anything else that we should be keeping our eye on in terms of HHS and programs or regulatory sort of work? I know that HHS OCR is working on an updated security rule for HIPAA.
Right.
There's a bunch of other things that they're working on. Anything that you can tell us that we should be kind of watching for right now?
Well, we are considering implementing some enforceable cybersecurity standards within the HPH cybersecurity goals that have far-reaching implications, because industries play an important role in the development of these standards and actually participating and shaping them. But once we do that, we want to hopefully put some teeth behind them, so that, you know, folks can kind of use it as an authoritative source in informing their overall cybersecurity posture.
And finally, as you work with other leaders within the government, whether it's CISA or other parts of HHS, you know, what is your assessment in terms of, you know, the way that healthcare is sort of seen as a critical infrastructure sector in terms of its preparedness compared to other industries? Does it have a lot of work to catch up on? Are there any industries that are worse?
Well, I'm probably not the authority to speak from that perspective, but let me say this. Okay, so when you talk about, just for your audience who may not be aware, when you talk about critical infrastructure, overarchingly, there are 16 sectors, right? And critical infrastructure, by definition, are those capabilities that shape or inform the American way of life, be it communications, you know, our military, our ability to have, you know, communications, chemical, water, a number of things that informs those sectors. And take away any one of those should pretty much be impactful to practically every American. So that's by and large what that means. And with respect to this particular sector, of which United States Department of Health and Human Services is the sector risk management agency for the health and public health care sector. We are fully committed to working with said sector through a number of programs, 405D and others within HHS, to bolster their ability to not only defend themselves, but to be able to respond in an effective way when calamity occurs. So yes, always mindful to all of us at HHS that we do whatever we can for the sector to ensure that, you know, everyone is protected, because again, and we will probably say this 5 million times, cyber safety is patient safety.
And one last question. When you look at some of the major attacks that we've been seeing in the healthcare and other sectors, what are the most concerning vulnerabilities that you think the nation states and other bad actors are exploiting the most, that, you know, these healthcare entities should really be focused on, you know, doing this? I know we always talk about patching, but what else?
Well, patching is critical, and that just goes down to what I would characterize as good cyber hygiene. And there's a number of other things that go along with that beyond just patching. The most prominent threats of the day, and they can vary on any given day, any given month, any given year. You know, of course, malware is going to be probably within the top three, right? Malware, and a form of malware, is ransomware, which, of course, if you turn your TV on any given day, someone is being overcome by a ransomware attack. Well, that's not lost within, you know, the healthcare sector being visited with, you know, a successful, you know, ransom attack, right? So you want to do all that you can do to protect yourself from that, you know, but patching, to the point you just made, that is a relevant construct within this paradigm. You must patch. You must ensure that you're not running end-of-life equipment. You must ensure that your constituency or your users of your corporate network is trained in being mindful of things that might get you in trouble by hitting links they shouldn't hit or going to websites they shouldn't go to. So there's a whole spectrum of things that should be considered if you really want to declare that you have a mature cyber program.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking to Lamont Yarborough. I'm Mary Ann Kolbaczek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.